Blog Talk Radio.
Even in the ring.
Radio.
Go ahead, who's this?
Yo, David Chang.
Is it me, man, or is Marquez just a goddamn beast?
Every time Marquez moves up in weight, moves to a different division, he's fighting the toughest competition he can find there. You know, he's not just finding a name that's stylistically good for him. He's fighting the hardest fight he could fight and then winning.
See, if anything's killing boxing, it's boxing. Not UFC.
You know, I won't bash MMA and I won't say, you know, it's killing boxing or boxing is better. You know, everybody has their own opinion.
Leave it in the ring.
Radio.
Shane Mosley versus Margarito sold out the Staples Center, and that was the largest attendance for any event. Everything, every concert, anything. That was the most. And that was just recently. So that's really where boxing is headed, along with the Ricky Hatton, Manny Pacquiao. Selling out.
Leave it in the ring.
Radio.
Okay, but everybody right now, if you're calling in, I got a couple more calls calling in. I'm not going to pass you through at the moment, but there is a chat room, and if you look on, there's a chat room. You can start chopping it up or ask your questions, and I will pass you in through as soon as we can.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the special edition of Leaving in the Ring Radio Show. I am Solarplex writer David Chen. I'll be your guest tonight, and I'll be your guest host, you can call it, because my man Dave Duen is 97 rough. He's been feeling under the weather recently. You know, he's got a lot of work to do for the website, for the There Will Be Blood fight show. He has his job with the union, and he's just been not feeling it. You know, he's on a lot of medication. He's trying to relax, so we're trying to give him some time off. We're here to talk to both special guests Andre Berto and Nate Campbell. They're both scheduled to call in later, so make sure you guys call in if you want to ask either of these guys some questions. I already see some callers on right now. I see area code 916. I believe that is my partner, Chris, from Sacramento. Is that you?
That's definitely me, man. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I can use some backup. I'm saying, let me take a couple of these more calls. I have a caller from area code 209. Who is this?
What's going on, brothers? Dave 97 Rough.
Ah, Dave. How you feeling?
I'm feeling all right, man, you know. I just wanted to call in and let everybody know I'm fine. And to pretty much, you know, kind of let everybody know that everything's good. The real reason I'm calling right now is to apologize for Thursday radio show because, you know, as everybody knows, I was not at my normal stage. On that Thursday show, you know, and then, I got to say this, man. Everybody that listens to the show, we got some real hardcore followers that listen to the show, you know, for even from There Will Be Blood to Leave It in the Ring, and everybody that gets involved, man, I got to tell you guys, I appreciate it, you know. But, I got a lot of emails, you know, hey, brother, was it because of the alcohol or what? And honestly, it wasn't. I did have a few, you know, coronas before getting on the show, but I've had coronas before that, you know, before getting on the show. What happened was I have medication, and I took a little too many at the time, and it just, if you listen to the show, I just little by little just keep slipping it away. So I just got to apologize to, like, Eddie Mustafa, Easton Shay Smith, who I did automatically call them right away, and it's like Serafina. And especially my brothers from Leaving the Ring, because they were involved in the train wreck that happened on that Thursday night show. But, you know, showing that they're great brothers, they were really concerned for me. And a lot of the hardcore fight fans were really concerned, emailing me, asking me if I was having a nervous breakdown on the radio show. Well, I wasn't. It was just called bad judgment, man, you know, and that's pretty much it, you know. And I wanted to, you know, I mean, I'm human. I make mistakes just like everybody else. But I got to pick up and just move on and shrug off the mishap that happened on Thursday and just keep moving forward, you know. But I did want to call in and you know, tell everybody that I appreciate the support.
Well, it's no problem, Dave. You just got to roll with some of these punches life throws you sometimes, right?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. So we do have Andre Ward to call. Hello?
Yeah, Dave?
Hello? Yeah. I just heard something in the background, something about I was off the host key. I say we do have Andre Ward calling in today. I don't know if you have him up on the board yet there. Dave, you might want to check up with the callers.
Yeah, you got it. I have an outside caller from the area code 111. If you're in queue, please let us know what your name is and where you're calling from. Caller, you're on the line. Can you tell us who you are and where you're calling from, please?
How you doing? This is Andre Berto.
Mr. Andre Berto.
How you doing, brother? How's everything going over there, man, in training camp?
I'm here, working hard, baby, working hard as always. Getting it in, getting ready.
I heard that, man. Well, the last time we had a chance to chop it up, brother, you know, was when you were going to face Luis Collazo. Now you got a tough task in hand going against Juan Urango, man. I mean, that's a big step up from Luis Collazo. You know, even though a lot of fight fans, man, were kind of upset, they were saying that the judgment went to the wrong guy. I mean, I had you winning the fight. So how do you feel about that? Does it upset you, or does it just make you work a little bit harder to get in the ring and prove that you are you should be in the top elite 147 fighters?
Yeah, definitely. Upset me because you know, I have high expectations for myself as well as everybody else, and I feel it was my fault. You know, I was in rare form that night. You know, I came into the fight you know, not really prepared like I normally am, you know, mentally and physically, and I believe that everybody who's been following me and everybody who, you know, watches me fight on the regular, they can really tell in that fight that I wasn't me. So, you know, you know, like the passion that I got, I feel I deserve, and just basically just put me back, you know, in focus and just put everything back in perspective for me, and you know, we had a tremendous training camp here for this fight.
Absolutely, man. You know, I'm not really hosting the show today. We got David Chan and we got Chris 916 and Blood on the show today. I'm a little under the weather today, brother. But I did want to call in and at least say what's up to you and hopefully have the chance to talk to you again. But before I go, I want to ask you one more question. You know, Luis Collazo, is that a rematch you're willing to get back? And how come it didn't happen right away, or where there's just no negotiations about it?
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a rematch that I want. You know, even after the fight, I said I wanted it, and I'm still saying it. I'm still saying it now that I want it, because at the end of the day, you know, I'm a big fight fan myself, and it felt like, you know, I still have a lot to prove, you know, fighting Luis Collazo. A lot of guys don't really like rematching a guy like that, like guys like Ricky Hatton, guys like that, but it feels like that, you know, it's definitely something that I definitely still need to prove, you know, when it comes to that guy. You know, I just know, you know, if I fought him again and it was in top shape like I was supposed to be, you know, I mean, it probably wouldn't have went the distance. But, you know, it's just things we have to do. And, you know, we tried to get it right back, but I believe that he kind of, you know, outbid himself on the negotiation process.
Right.
You know, so it wasn't, you know, so it couldn't happen. But, you know, but we'll see maybe in the future.
Let me ask you, man, does it upset you when you hear sports writers or even media or even hardcore fans are saying, you know what, even though that was probably one of the most exciting fights to start off in the new year, you know, for the 147 division, you really did set the bar for other fights to come off. But does it upset you when you hear media or anybody say, oh, Andre Berto is just a prospect with a championship belt?
I mean, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of these people forget that I'm only you know, 4 years in the game. I just came out of the 2004 Olympics, and a lot of people seem to forget that, you know, I mean, that I'm the new young face in the division, and it's still kind of early for me, you know. So they have all these high expectations, but I mean, you know, like these are, I mean, but that's the standard that I set for myself, you know, coming into the, you know, coming into the professional game and as well as my performances. So, I mean, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, they can say what they want to say as long as I keep, you know, racking up victories and just putting on, you know, tight performances. You know, all the respect will come. You know, I mean, I can just do everybody pretty much had to go through that process, I believe. You know, if it was, you know, Oscar De La Hoya at the beginning of his career or guys like Floyd Mayweather. So, you know, so in this boxing game, you definitely need to earn that respect.
Absolutely, man. Well, I'm going to, you know, pass it over to David Chan, 916 Chris. I'm probably going to end up just, you know, calling off by now, Bert. I appreciate you calling in. Hey, but, you know, before I let you go, I have one of my correspondents over there in Florida, and he's from Florida, Gainesville. And I was just wondering, man, you know, while you're in training camp, is there any way, I'm not sure if you're training at hometown or what, but if you are, if there's a way we can get some cameras out there to film you while you're working out.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, cool. I'm over here in the hometown, actually, right now. I'll be here for, you know, until next week. It's going to be my last week here until I head down to Miami. So, if you want to come down to the One Haven Pal, you know, come on down.
Right on, brother. Okay, David, go ahead and take over, brother, and I'll call you guys back a little later. Hey, Berto, thank you very much, man, and good luck on your upcoming fight with Juan Yangro.
No problem, man. Thank you.
Now, Andre, that was a real battle you went through with Luis Collazo. Now, obviously, after the first time you fight somebody in the ring, that's when you actually get to know the man. Now, when you were in there with him, what was it about him, would you say, gave you the most difficulties? Like, when you went back to the corner and you would think, wow, I can't believe he's doing that to me.
I think it was just, just the fact it was just me. It wasn't really all too much on what he was doing because I knew he was a experienced fighter. I knew he was, slick and crafty, and a southpaw. He gave, he gives, pretty much everybody trouble. But I think it was just me, just not really, just coming into the fight prepared like I was supposed to be, like, physically as well as mentally. I've seen a lot of things I really wanted to do, but I just couldn't do it because just physically I wasn't there. And with the boxing game, like any one of the fighters that know, that's pretty much in that position. They know this game is probably 80% mental. So, if you don't go into fight, mentally prepared, they can throw you off your whole game. So, just everything just basically just wasn't just in tune that night. I just had a bad night and it's going to come back better.
Well, no matter what happens, you still got your title. You're still the champion. Now, I don't know what your ambitions are in the division, but I'm sure you want to fight the big names as much as anybody else. Now,
definitely.
You still got your title. You got this fight everybody's talking about. It set the bar for the rest of the year, 2009. Has that really helped you guys, your camp, in terms of negotiation table? Has there been more talk of you possibly getting more out there as a result of this fight and the performance?
Yeah, definitely. Even though I feel that it wasn't my best performance against, Luke Collazo, it still set the bar for the rest of the fight for the rest of the year as the most exciting. And I believe, I believe that it's definitely helped us out, with future fights and future negotiations when it comes to a lot of these big guys. Cause at the end of the day, I am a young fighter, but then again, they know I'm going to come in. They know I'm finna come and bring the action, and I'm gonna bring the intensity either way it goes. So so it's definitely moving forward to bigger names. Pretty much if everything goes well.
Definitely, definitely. Well, while we got Ms. Andre Berto on the line, I want everybody to call in the toll free number. If you guys want to ask him a question, do that now. I'm gonna take another number. I believe this is my partner and another co-host of ours, Blood from area code 352. Is that you, brother?
Yeah, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's going
Andre,
on, brother? Go ahead and ask Andre something, man.
Yo,
what's
up, man? Yo, I'm right here in Orlando, man. Big ups for the Sunshine State, homie.
Hey,
anyways, man, tell us a little bit about your next opponent, because a lot of people don't realize how tough this guy is moving up. And, his only loss came to Ricky Hatton. What do you think, man? You taking on a pretty big challenge here.
Yeah, definitely, man. I'm in the game just to face. Just for the competition, just to try to fight the best. And, this kid here, he's a real tough kid from Colombia. Punches tremendously hard, southpaw. He just comes and gets it. So, just like you said, his only loss was to Ricky Hatton. So, so he's a tough customer, man. But they're throwing me in, I'm just trying to get in there with just fights that people in general are just going to remember and just fights that people are going to respect. So.
Hey, man, I hear what you're saying, bro, but check this out. I know most fighters don't want to really look past their next fight, but what's on the horizon after that, man? You ready to step in there against a Sugar Shane Mosley, even the Mayweathers, some of the bigger names in the division? Is you ready for that yet?
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. I believe, my last fight, actually, we was trying to get a negotiation with Shane, before the the Collazo situation came about. Just going to be the sky, just going to be the limit, it's going to take fight, every fight one at a time. And just keep on just trying to put on exciting performances, and, when everything else will come, You know what I mean? At the end of the day, I'm still young, so, you know, everything's going to come.
All right, all right. Any more callers over there, David?
Now, we got our other co-host, Chris, Homeboy Sacramento, 916. Why don't you go ahead and ask Andre Borg your question, brother?
Yeah, Andre, man, you said that, you know, in the Colazo fight, you didn't think you were 100% physically. You know,
yeah.
You didn't think it was your best performance. But, man, you know, there was a couple times in the middle rounds where I thought Colazo really changed the momentum. And I really, you know, thought he was going to take over. But you just came back. You kept coming back. And in the last couple championship rounds, you know, you really proved your heart. And I'm
definitely.
Just curious, you know, was it more like a – because you say you weren't all there physically. Was that more of a physical or a mental check for you during those last two rounds when you came out and really, you know, closed out those rounds and pretty much won the fight with those last two rounds, in my opinion?
I think it was just probably a little bit of both. I mean, you know, just like I said, you know, you can look at the fight, you know, a lot of different ways. You can say that it was a, you know, exciting fight, and you seen this young kid just, you know, show a lot of heart and show a lot of intensity and show, you know, all kinds of desire. But then again, if, you know, if you're on my end and you know, just me, just having high expectations for myself and like the writers, you know, they're going to, you know, they're going to say, you know, probably something otherwise. But you know, I pretty much just tested myself, you know, physically and mentally because I felt I wasn't there. I mean, just all the way around the board, and it just shows that, you know, if I'm there or not, you know, always going to have something left in the tank. If it's going to be, you know, if it's going to be physically, or it's going to be my heart just pouring all over the ring, I'm definitely going to come and bring it.
Yeah. Another quick question. You mentioned to Dave a little while ago, you know, you think that people forget how young you are, and I do think people forget
exactly.
how young you are. So do you think that maybe people have unrealistic expectations or set the bar so high on you because, you know, you've been put on this HBO platform so early in your career?
Yeah, they do. But at the same time, I got counted as a blessing at the same time. It's either, you know, I mean, like in order for them to do that, I must be doing something right, you know. So, you know, so at the end of the day, you know, they're putting me on that plateau for a reason. And it's just me as a – I'm just – as me as a young man and as a young champion to just take that in consideration and just to stay hungry and stay focused. And I mean, you're always not going to make all the critics happy, but at the same time, you can, you know, just go in there and try to you know, live up to the expectations somewhat. So that's why I try to do every time I step in there.
Absolutely.
Now, Andre, during your time with Colazo, your father was in the corner behind you, frantically asking you, telling you that you got to take every single round you possibly could. Coming
right.
into the 12th, when you came out and rallied, what were your thoughts? I mean, how close did you think the fight was?
I thought it came down. You know, actually, I thought it came, you know, I mean, everything pretty much came down to the last round. I believe everything came down to the last round, actually. So, you know, I'm not a stranger to hard work. I mean, ever since I was, you know, younger, you know, we've always had to, you know, do certain things, to do certain exercises, to, you know, like, try to push through, you know, for the last minute or the last set of push-ups or the last set of squats. We had to try to burn it out, so I wasn't a stranger to it, but I just knew, yeah, last round definitely going to be just sliding around, so I had to go out there and go balls out.
Hey, man, we know you're no stranger to hard work and ethics, man, especially in your younger age. Why don't you give us a little bit about, you were supposed to represent the U.S. in the Olympics, and you ended up representing Haiti. Give us a little bit about why that happened.
You know what happened in the Olympic trials. I was the number one seed going into the Olympic trials, and you know, I squared off with the number two seed on the first day of the competition. And, you know, we had a little, you know, situation. You know, I was pretty much winning the fight. But then the last round, I hit the guy. He grabbed me. Like, the last 20 seconds of the fight, I hit him. He grabbed me. And I tried to get him off me. He fell down to the canvas and said that I threw him down. So, you know, so I got disqualified. There was a grievance or whatnot, and they overturned the decision. They put me back in the Olympic trial tournament, and I fought the next day, and I fought the kid that went to the Olympics. Actually, his name was Vonis Metrionian or whatnot. And I beat him. I fought the final trial, and some kid that I fought the first day came back with this you know, his lawyers and his whole legal team, they told him just to try to pretty much overturn the original decision. And through our, I mean, arbitration, a whole, you know, whole lot of things, and the final verdict was pretty much to disqualify me from the tournament. This is after, which I already made the team, but, and, you know, just leave arbitration. We got a call actually from Shelly Finkle at the time. Shelly Finkle, you know, I guess he reached out and told us, you know, we never thought of, you know, going to the Olympics for Haiti. And, you know, we never heard of, you know, Haiti having a boxing team at all. And, you know, we made a call. They heard about the whole situation that happened, and they accepted open arms pretty much. And I went to the Olympic qualifiers with Team Haiti, and at the end of the qualifiers, I ended up being the only member of the team to qualify for the Olympic Games. Everybody else on the team lost the first day, so I ended up being a one-man team going to the Olympic Games for Haiti. So it was a crazy transition, but you know we had to do to get to the game. So it was tough.
Sound like a great experience, man.
Yeah, man, it was rough. But you know,
speaking of the Olympics, you know, a lot of people really been enjoying, you know, the way you fight, because you really use the momentum you got from the tension from the Olympic Games and get your career on the right track. You got your title. A lot of people have been comparing you to some of the younger, old-school Olympic stars like Sugar Ray Leonard, because, you know, guys like you all got those physical gifts, physical attributes that's really entertaining in the ring. Now, I want to ask you, what are some of the fighters you respected when you were coming up? And when you're in the ring, you're fighting with them, who do you most identify with?
You know, I pretty much admired all those guys growing up. Guys like Sugar Ray, Mel Taylor, you know, guys like Shane Mosley, De La Hoya, you know, all those guys. But when I'm in there in the ring, I pretty much, just growing up, pretty much I've, you know, taken a little bit of a lot of my favorite fighters that I've seen, take a little bit of, you know, everybody's style and try to make my own. And, you know, 'cause when I'm in the ring, you know, pretty much once I get, you know, pretty much comfortable, I'm able just to do, you know, a lot of different things. If it's, you know, like a, you know, a triple hook, or if it's a, you know, Mike Tyson uppercut, if it's, you know, just a lot of just a lot of different things that just make some, you know, my own style. So, you know, but once I get comfortable, then I pretty much can try to do whatever.
Definitely. Chris 916, do you have anything more to ask
Andre Burrow? Yeah, I just got one more question. You know, Andre, before your last fight, they had that little piece on HBO. They showed, the adversity and stuff with your father's accident and everything you had before, and they showed that whole story and whatnot. I was just wondering, have you guys gotten a lot of positive or feedback from fans and stuff since witnessing that?
Oh yeah, definitely. you know, actually, I get you know, my dad, you know, he has a lot of fans now. I mean, he gets people that, you know, that ask me about him all the time. And, you know, I got a lot of other, you know, celebrity friends, you know, like Allen Iverson and you know, guys like T.I., and they ask about him most of the time. They want to see him real bad, you know, just because of that, that special that they played, and you can see what type of guy he is and how intense he is. So, you know, we definitely get a lot of, you know, positive feedback from the, you know, from the skit.
Well deserved, I must say.
Hey, man, I got a question, man. Now, I know you've seen that Manny Pacquiao, Ricky Haddon fight. And right now, Pacquiao, he's pretty hot, man. What you think you could do with Pacquiao, man? Would you take a fight with him if you had the opportunity?
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. At the end of the day, it's all about competition. But, you know, Pacquiao's a real good friend of mine, actually. But you know what I mean? Just the thing with Pacquiao, man, if you think you're going to go in there and just bully him around, you got some trouble, just coming your way. If you sit back and think about it, the guys that really gave him some trouble with guys like Marquez, you know, guys that were fundamentally, you know, on point. You know,
right.
So you have to be, you know, so you have to use speed. You have to try to outsmart a guy like, you know, like a guy like Manny Pacquiao, you just can't go in there and try to bully him around because he has heavy hands and he has real awkward foot, you know what I mean, just feet movement at the same time. So you have to try to outsmart him, use speed, and try to outthink him instead of just out trying to, go out there and out try to fight him. So it takes a certain type of fighter to give him a hard time.
So you definitely would say he's a threat to the 147-pound division, being the fact that he move up in that division pretty comfortably, you know, with him gunning for guys like Mayweather and perhaps maybe even fighting you in the future, you would consider him a threat at 147 for sure, right?
I mean, yeah, but at the same time, you know, the guys he's fought right now at this point has been, you know, guys like De La Hoya that, that pretty much, you know, just came in there, pretty much just didn't look like he was ready to perform. I mean, you know, he was just there just getting punched on. And a guy like Ricky Hatton, I mean, that was at 140, but that was pretty much almost tailor-made for him. So styles make fights at the end of the day. So it just depends on who he's fighting. But he's definitely going to be a threat at any type of, at any division that he's in just because he's so awkward. And at the same time, he's so powerful, So,
one more quick question. Cotto versus Clotty, who you got and why?
Ah, man, it's kind of up in the air right now, actually, man. A lot of people, yeah, I know they have, you know, Cotto, you know, winning. But, you know, with Joshua Clotty, he's a different type of fighter. You know, he has a really good defense, and he knows how to work his offense off his defense. You know what I'm saying? So really just depends on who's the best man that comes in there that night, you know, but it's pretty much up in the air right now. But I won't be surprised if Joshua Clotty, shocks the world with that, with a victory. But it's up in the air for me right now.
And if he does win, I ain't going to be mistaken. I did hear him say your name, so is that maybe something? He actually said your name. I heard him now. You know what I'm saying? So, what you was thinking when he said your name, though?
You know, actually, I didn't even see the fight when he said it. Everybody here, my phone just started blowing up. So, you know, I mean, you know, that's free publicity for me. So I appreciate it, you know, with Joshua. But you know, just like I said, at the end of the day, I'm in this whole game for the competition. And I had to leave my legacy at the end of the day. So, you know, so if he has that title, hey, I'd love to go ahead and get it on with him. Because at the end of the day, man, they know I'm young. But at the same time, they know I'm going to bring that heat every time I step in that ring. So.
Real talk.
It doesn't matter. So, you know, I'd definitely be down for it.
Hmm. Now, Andre, speaking of styles make fights, now, Juan Rangel, they call him the Iron Twin because he's got power in both his hands. You saw how dangerous he can be as a fighter. Is this a matchup that you think that stylistically made for you in a way that you can kind of just go impose your will? Or is this one of those matchups where you think you should study your opponent and basically figure out a way around what he's going to be doing?
You know what, it just depends, man. I mean, you know, he's really strong at 140. We're going to see how he brings that power up to 147. And a lot of people sort of realize that I'm a big puncher at 147 also. So, and I don't think that he has fought, too many guys that has been, just as strong as he is or maybe stronger, or bigger, you know. So it just depends, man. As everybody, watched all my fights, I'm very versatile. I can stand there and bang, or I can move around the box, you know, if I want to and use my speed. I've just been working on pretty much the all-around game. If I wanted just to walk him on down, if I didn't feel like his power was like that at 147, you know, I can just, just come in there, just walk him on down and just chop him down or if I have to get on my bicycle a little bit and try to outthink him and just try to box him for a few times. I'll do that. So I've just been working on pretty much all of it.
Definitely. Now, Andre, we definitely appreciate you coming on the show. We know this is your free time. You need your rest like any boxer do during their training camp. So before I let you go, 916 Chris, do you have anything in closing to say to Mr. Andre Bertel?
No, man, I'm good. I just want to thank you for your time, you know. Looking forward to your fight next week, you know, and hopefully see another great performance by you.
I appreciate it, my man. Appreciate y'all for having me, definitely.
Blood?
No doubt. Yeah, man. Hey, man, I'm not too far from you, so I'm going to come check you out sometime, bro.
Come on down.
Leaving in the ring, man.
Come on down.
All right, homie.
Miss Andre Brodo, would like to have you today. Thank you for speaking with us, okay?
I appreciate it.
All right, good luck on your fight, brother.
Thank you.
Wow, Andre Brodo, world champion. What do you guys think? I mean, he admitted himself. I mean, this is a real humble guy. He said, I'm still new to the fight game. You know, I've only been around for 4 years, but he is a title holder, and I think he's proven himself so far, no?
Yeah, I would agree. I think that he has proven himself, to where he's at in his career. He's proven himself. He's got a belt. But he's at that stage now to where he's going to have to start taking some big fights soon because he does have a belt. I think this next fight is definitely, he's taking a risk in this next fight. A lot of people wouldn't take that fight. But, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing him fight the winner of Cotto Clawdy or Sugar Shane Mosley or even Floyd Mayweather. And with him being so young and being a big 147-pounder, is always a possibility he could move up to the next 154 and tangle with guys like Vernon Forrest and Paul Williams.
Yeah, you know, you're right, because he started his career at 160 middleweight. Now, since he got his title, obviously his name is still not big enough for some of these mega superstars in the welterweight division to justify having to fight him yet. But I figured, hey, you know, with that performance he had with Collazo, maybe he deserves a bigger shot at the negotiating table. But, I mean, what's next for him? I mean, obviously this fight is a really big risk for him. He doesn't have to take it, but I'm glad to see him stay busy and keep defending his title. But that's all he has had a chance to do since he won his title, which is to defend it. What do you think about
right.
that, Chris?
You know, I think this fight's tailor-made for him, to be honest. Aside from the fact that Urango's moving up in weight, he's a lot slower than Berto, and Berto's really fast, you know what I'm saying? I just think Urango's, he's not completely one-dimensional, but I think he's tailor-made for Andre Berto. I think Andre Berto's going to win this fight easy. And after that, you know, like you said, you know, he doesn't necessarily command the big, you know, dollars yet, so I don't know if, you know, a guy like a Mosley or, you know, even a Mayweather's going to take that fight next. Maybe Claudy if he beats Cotto. But if, you know, if he comes out of this fight unscathed, as I expect him to, I'd like to see that Collazo rematch. You know, he said he wouldn't mind taking that fight, you know, and I think a lot of the fans would want to see, and I think HBO would pony up the money for it as well.
Definitely. Now, Chris, while I got you talking, is there anything going on big in the world of MMA? I know Dave said he personally went down to something with Strikeforce. So can you tell us about what's going on?
Yeah, there was a Strikeforce. It was like a Challenger series, it's called. It's basically the exact same thing as Showbox on Showtime. You know, it's just up-and-coming fighters, you know what I'm saying, where they're kind of displayed, you know, showcase their skills before they move on to that next level. And, yeah, Dave went and checked it out, you know, said it was pretty good. It was a pretty good night of fights. The only thing is the main event ended, you know, controversially on a disqualification. So, you know, the fans weren't too happy with that, you know. But I'm just glad, you know, Showtime's kind of bought this up because, you know, I know boxing fans always like to follow, you know, the Showbox fights, you know, to see these fighters up and coming, you know, and, you know, get a platform where they might not otherwise. So basically this is along the same lines. You know, it was a pretty good event for their first event, you know, and just hopefully, you know, MMA fans will tune in and boxing fans too, you know what I'm saying? You know, I think if, you know, if you're into one aspect of fight sports, you know, you can kind of get into the other if you actually give it an opportunity and just check it out.
Absolutely. Now, speaking of easy fights, what did you guys think about Andre Ward versus Addis Miranda last night? Blood?
Oh, man, I thought Ward looked good. You know, the only thing is I would like to see Ward press the action a little bit more at the end. You know, he probably could have taken Miranda out if he would have pressed it a little more. But, man, you know, this was a good fight for him. And, you know, this takes him to that next level. I'm looking forward to seeing more from this young fighter, man.
Yeah, I swear that going into this fight, I thought this was obviously untested waters for Andre Ward. I thought that it was a dead even fight. I thought he might have an edge being in his hometown and all. But surprisingly, he definitely took charge of the whole fight. I don't think I can think of a single moment where I thought that he might have been in trouble. I mean, just let's think about in what ways he was tested in this fight. He stood up to a powerful puncher. He switched stances, basically made his opponent look all kinds of bad, right? He basically finished the fight the way he should have. Chris, do you think the fight was accurate the way the judges called it? It was nearly a shutout?
Yeah, you know, going into this fight like you, I saw it as an even fight. And I actually picked Miranda to win only because even though he hasn't won all his big fights, you know, Andre Ward up to this point hadn't gone through that gut check fight, in my opinion, you know what I'm saying? And Miranda had beaten a slick boxer before in Alan Green, you know, so I just thought, you know, he had the experience, you know, and the style to maybe catch Ward, but Ward definitely showed me something in this fight, you know what I'm saying? He got in there and mixed it up inside, and he even said afterwards in the interview, you know, after the fight, that he realized that fighting inside was to his advantage because Miranda's got those long arms, but he's not a good inside fighter. And, you know, just to see Ward push Miranda back and kind of manhandle him later on in the fight, you know, and just stand and kind of trade with him and get the better of him really impressed me, you know what I'm saying? I think this is definitely that fight that's going to, you know, get him up to that next step in his career. And, you know, definitely agree with the judges' scorecards. You know, like Blood said, Miranda didn't really I can't think of one point where he had an advantage or where he really – he may have caught Ward once or twice, but Ward never looked stunned or hurt, you know, and Ward just came back and hit him right back, you know, and just – it almost looked like he took Miranda's heart out of the fight midway through.
So where does it put Edison Miranda? I mean, before this fight, they called him a dangerous gatekeeper at 160 and maybe 168, but – is he still a gatekeeper? For example, does Andre Ward's victory over Edison Miranda mean Andre Ward is necessarily ready for the world stage? You see what I mean, Blood?
Yeah, I agree. I think that Edison Miranda is just what you said he is. I think he's still a gatekeeper because, you know, he's a dangerous test for anybody. He does have power, and, you know, I think he's a great test, but now it's time for Andre Ward to move on to the next level, which is fighters, if he's at super middleweight, you're looking at guys like Mikael Kessler, Frauch, even a Jermaine Taylor, you know, even though he lost his last fight. Those are the kind of fights we would like to see Andre Ward get. So, yes, moves up. Maybe even Alan Green, you know. I think it's time for him to move on to that next level now at this time.
Now, with this victory, I think Andre Ward is already ranked first in that particular sanctioning body, which would make him the top choice for a mandatory challenger for Carl Frauch. What do you think about that, Chris?
No, I definitely like to see that fight. You know, problem is, word is, Frauch is possibly going to make this fight with Lucien Boutte. You know, I guess those two fighters are talking. So if that gets made, you know, I think Ward, if he gets the opportunity to take on Frauch, I'd take it, you know, because Jermaine Taylor was able to outbox Frauch. You know, unfortunately, just late, he wasn't able to kill that stamina. So I think Ward being a better boxer technically than Taylor is, I think maybe he could, you know, probably outbox Frauch if he fought a safe fight. But if he can't get that fight, you know, maybe Jermaine Taylor, you know, he's still a big name and he's still a test. Or Lebrado Andrade, you know, he's got a big name out there as well. And that's a fight I definitely could see Andre Ward winning, you know. So that division is stacked. That's definitely one of the best divisions in boxing right now, in my opinion. So there's a lot of options out there for him.
Definitely. I mean, 168 is so deep right now. And as for Andre Ward, my opinion is that I hope to see him keep proving himself a little bit. Not that he doesn't have ability. He's shown plenty yesterday. But what I really want to see from him is for him to beat all the other contenders to the throne. You see what I mean? If he can really put himself in that position, then none of the sanctioning, you know, different alphabet title holders are going to be able to ignore him anymore. Because, like you said, Frauch might be doing this fight with Boutte if Boutte keeps his belt. And because of that, something funny might happen. But if Andre Ward can beat all the quality, highly ranked fighters in each sanctioning body, then nobody's going to be able to ignore him. Am I right? But
yeah, you're definitely right. You know, right now, I mean, there's basically, you know, it looks like Frauch, yeah, like you said, he's out of the picture right now. You know, I'd like to see him just take a risk with a Jermaine Taylor. I'd like to see him fight the guy, Bika, or Kessler. Somebody like that at this stage.
You know, real quick, I want to get your guys' opinion. You know, there's three guys that are about almost at the same stage. Alan Green's a little bit ahead, but I'm sure it's out of these three guys in that division of American boxers, who do you think is going to have the best future out of Alan Green, Andre Ward, or Andre Durrell?
Oh, I'd go with Andre Ward in that one. I think Alan Green, I like Andre Durrell too, but you know, Alan Green, I think he's kind of like at that crossroads right now in his career. You know, he lost the fight to Edison Miranda, and then he had the problem with looking down at his, I don't know what that, you know, looking down at his shoes or something at certain points in the fight. You know, I just, you know, he's come back pretty good. Since his loss to Miranda, he's had a string of wins. But he's definitely at a crossroads, Allen Green. So, I'm looking more towards Andre Ward.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Me, personally, I do like Allen Green, but I think he's a more limited fighter than Andre Ward is. I think Andre Ward is the most complete package coming up in that division. So, I mean, that's what it is. I mean, Allen Green, there are plenty of people he can beat, but I can also see ways where you can give him fits. But Ward has definitely impressed me, and I don't see any reason why he should slow down to at least anybody in his immediate way.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Were we going to have Andre Ward calling in or at some point? Did Ruff say that?
Now, Ruff is working on it, but Andre Ward apparently has been very hard to reach. Obviously, he just had his fight, so he's been busy. He's been all over the place. But Dave is working on that, and hopefully Andre Ward can come in and top it up with us a little bit, give us his side of the story.
Okay.
Hey, did you guys get a chance to check out that Kevin Johnson fight on Friday night? And if so, what do you guys think?
Man, I didn't see it. I heard about it. I didn't get a chance to see it, though.
I saw the highlights, and from what it looked like to me, he just put hands all over the other guy. I think the other guy was a amateur star of some kind, right?
Yeah, Devin Vargas. I guess he was an amateur. I mean, I've heard of him before. Like, supposedly he made his name in the amateurs. I ain't seen too much of him in the pros, but yeah. I mean, he looked all right early, but he looked like he's more so made for the cruiserweight. His frame and whatnot, he had his moments in there, but Kevin Johnson was just, a bigger guy and ended up taking it to him, you know what I'm saying? And just his size and power and I guess his technique, you could say, kind of overwhelmed him. And, that Vargas kid kind of just fell apart. It looked like he ruptured an eardrum or something. He was complaining through this, some of the rounds. You could tell he was looking for a way out. Unfortunately, his corner didn't recognize it. But either way, that the kingpin, Kevin Johnson, looked good, Definitely want to see more of him, I want to see him get a better test, but it seems like it's hard for him to get any fights out there.
Speaking of Friday night fights on ESPN2, we've been talking about all the mega fights coming up that we are all really eager to see, like fights like Cotto and Clady, Marquez and Mayweather, but there are some other fights between now and then that's kind of being left on the wayside. People aren't talking about it. And one of the ones I've been thinking about is Carlos Quintana versus this guy, Danny Perez. Now, Quintana, he's only lost twice in his career, and he has some quality wins in his. Obviously he beat Paul Williams, and that was a great upset. Now, do you guys think that after two defeats, one to Miguel Cotto and the other to Paul Williams in his rematch, that he deserves to get bumped all the way back down to the Friday night fight level blood?
No, I don't think. I think that's a good place for him right now, Friday night fights. It's a chance for him to get some TV exposure. He did get the win. He's showing that he has a lot of ability. He did get the win against Williams. I think Friday night fights would be a good place for him to start out and to build himself back up the ladder.
Now, Quintana, obviously, is a natural welterweight, and I'm assuming he's going to be fighting this fight at 154 because his opponent, Danny Perez, has been a long-time junior middleweight and middleweight fighter. Danny Perez is a tough guy. I mean, he went to the distance twice against Antonio Margarito. Even though he lost those matches, he did go the distance, and he dropped Antonio Margarito, I believe, in their first fight. So do you think Quintana, in what he's showing, is he slick enough to really deal with somebody like that, Chris?
Yeah, I think he is. Perez is a tough guy, but Quintana's really skilled. Quintana's got wins already, like Blood mentioned, over Paul Williams. And I believe he also handed Joel Julio his first defeat. The only reason, I think why Quintana is being bumped down this far is because in his losses against Cotto and Williams, he just, those were really bad losses. He got blown away in those fights. But I definitely think he's got the goods to compete at the junior middleweight level, and I think he's got the skills to take to pretty much school Danny Perez. I think it'd be a good fight, but I definitely would slot Quintana as the favorite in that bout.
Yeah, I would say he'll definitely win it probably off distance for sure because, Danny Perez, he has a very good chin, very tough. Like you said, he's been in there with Margarito, and, he's never been knocked out. He's lost a few times, but, he's never been KO'd, and he's actually been winning quite a few fights since his loss to David Lopez, so... But I would still give Quintana the edge, maybe off the distance. If he could fight a good fight like he did in that first fight against Paul Williams?
You know, I've been looking at the news around, and The Ring did an article about Benjamin Flores, the fighter that passed away a couple of weeks ago, and that came right after the fact that Chris brought it up on our show, so I think it's all his doing. What do you think, Chris?
No, man, I ain't going to take credit for that, but I was glad to see that article up, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just good to see, you know, that it get recognition because, you know, for some reason, it just seems like, I don't want to say a dirty little secret, but boxers do die, you know what I'm saying, in the ring. There seems to be no less than one death a year, you know, but it just seems to not happen on the big stage. You know, it seems to happen on these smaller fights or, you know, these fights that aren't televised or in other countries. And no one ever really acknowledges it, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, whether it's a main event fighter or a big name or not, you know, regardless, it's a guy that goes in there and puts his life on the line, you know, doing something he loves. You know, I just think we should, you know, give at least pay our respect to that fighter, you know, and his family, you know, and for his life, you know, for going in there, you know, putting it all on the line, you know what I'm saying? I just think we should give those guys recognition, whether, you know, the mainstream does or not.
Definitely. I mean, boxers make so much sacrifice, you know, and what is their purpose? Their purpose is to entertain the crowd. You might not even be a boxing fan, but, you know, you're going to have to recognize them for that, and you're going to have to accept the fact that bad things are going to happen in the ring. I mean, from everything I know about Benjamin Flores, nothing went wrong in that fight itself, but, at, you know, in the end, he expired anyway, and that's just a scary aspect of our sport, but I want to kind of spin off of that. I mean, there's always going to be talk about how boxing is a dangerous sport and how people get killed in boxing and so on and so forth. I know you got something to say about that, Blood.
Yeah, first of all, RIP to Benjamin Flores, young guy, only in his 20s. Sad to see him go, you know. You know, and I'm glad that people gave recognition to him. He did deserve that. He went out there as a warrior and put his life on the line. But at the same time, yeah, boxing, there's, you know, deaths occur in all sports, man. You know, not only boxing, but in other sports, too. You got motorcycle riding, scuba diving, football. So that's just part of sports. And boxing tends to get a lot of criticism, I think more criticism than these other sports just because it's boxing, you know. You know, I think there's like a stereotype there of some sort. And me and Chris, we went at it a little bit about, we talked about it a little bit. I know Chris knows what I'm talking about. But, you know, I just think that boxing tends to get a little bit more attention when a fighter dies in the ring. And I don't think that's fair to the sport of boxing.
And you're definitely right about that. Let me take another call. I see a caller on the line. I believe is one of our regulars, 585. Area code, caller, state name, and tell us where you're from.
Hey, what's up? This is 585, We the Best. Rock
we the Best.
What's going on, y'all?
What's going on, man? What's on with you today?
Nothing. I just came online, you know, just to shout out you guys. I know I think Andre Bertel's going to be showing up.
You just missed
you
him,
missed
buddy.
Him just now, brother.
Oh, I see. Okay. I was kind of
pissed. he called in on the dot when the show started.
Oh, wow. Okay.
What's your thoughts on Andre Berto at this point?
Well, my thoughts, I mean, he's pretty solid. You know, I think Collazo does deserve that rematch. I know he has a fight coming up May 30th on HBO. You know, I think he's going to put on, you know, I think he's going to put a pretty solid performance against Juan Arango. So.
And then what would you like to see him do after that, after that fight, if saying he gets through this fight, this next fight?
Well, after this fight, I'd like to see him fight, you know, one of the top-tier welterweights. Maybe
you think
somebody
he's ready for the winner of Cotto Quadi?
I think he's ready for a guy like Cotto, maybe, because, you know, he has a great uppercut. A guy like Claudio might be a little too strong for him. But I could see him fighting Collazo again. I could see him maybe fighting Shane Mosley, you know,
right,
in the future.
Right.
Because it seems like Mosley is left in the dark, you know, with Pacquiao, Mayweather, you know, drama going on. So,
why do you guys think that is? That's actually something good to touch on. Sugar Shane Mosley has not signed a fight yet. Why do you guys think that Sugar Shane Mosley just isn't getting any fights right now? What's going on with that? Anybody heard anything?
I don't know, man. Like, I heard that, you know, Pacquiao is possibly looking at him as an opponent. That's if Claudio beats Cotto. If Cotto beats Claudio, they're definitely going to make that Pacquiao-Cotto match. But, yeah, man, I don't know. I mean, Shane's a big name. He brings a lot of money to the table, you know, so I don't see what the problem is. I don't know if guys are, you know, scared off by that ass-whooping he put on Margarito. You know, they don't want to mess with the old man or what it is, but you would think people would be, you know, trying to get a shot at him, but you're right, man. No one's really calling him out at the moment.
You know what it is, man? When I think about it, like, Shane's in an interesting spot right now because there are people that are definitely scared of him, and then there are people who basically he doesn't want to fight, you see what I mean? Because Shane, you know, Styles make fights, and we know Shane can lose. You know, he's been outboxed before by Cotto, so on and so forth. So I think he's in a funny spot right now in terms of what's going on in boxing. You know, Manny Pacquiao has got, you know, he's going to see what's happening with Marquez and Mayweather. You got Cotto fighting Claudio, and so it's like at the end of the day, you know, he's not going to go out of his way to look for fights that for no reason. You know, he finally got himself back into the spotlight, and he's going to take the biggest fight he can get. So I think everybody on both sides of the fence are just sitting around and waiting.
Yeah, it does. I agree. It does seem like everybody just seems to be sitting back and waiting to see what's going to happen between Cotto, Claudio, and Mayweather, Marquez, because, you know, Mayweather, Mosley might also be a possibility, and I think people would definitely want to see that fight. So, you know, that's another option for Mosley with Mayweather coming back into the game.
It just seems like Shane Mosley on the last position on everybody's list, you know what I mean? Everybody's like, well, we'd rather do this. Oh, of course, we'll fight Shane, but maybe down the line. That's what Manny Pacquiao said, and I think that's how everybody feels.
But what do y'all think about Mayweather and Mosley maybe getting it on? Do you think that Mosley is just a little bit, you know, too old for Mayweather at this stage, and maybe he should stick to fighting somebody as much of a speed fighter? What do you guys think of that fight, maybe?
Chris?
Kern, and who would you favor in that fight?
I got to see how Mayweather looks against Marquez, although I expect him to win that fight, but you know, I don't know, man. I've been wanting to see this Mayweather-Mosley fight forever. You hear different stories, you know what I'm saying? You hear that Mayweather, I've heard him say that they tried to sign the fight a couple of years ago and Mosley didn't want it. And then you hear that way back at lightweight, you know, he said Mosley jumped two divisions to get away from him. You know, I want to see this fight happen already, you know what I'm saying? Mosley's not getting any younger. You know, this fight needs to go down if it's going to go down. And if it does, man, I don't know, man. You got the power advantage with Mosley. You know, and I think he's more of a naturally born fighter at heart, you know what I'm saying? But Mayweather's got the skills. I've never seen either of them fight that type of fighter, you know. I've never seen Mosley match up against a Mayweather type, and I've never seen Mayweather fight a Mosley type of fighter, so it's hard to call, you know what I'm saying? That's a tough fight to call, but I don't know, man. I'd probably favor Mosley. I mean, I'd probably pick Mosley, but, I mean, obviously I wouldn't be surprised if Floyd pulled it out.
Definitely. I'm going to take another caller. Caller from area code 209. Can you tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
It's 97 Rough, baby. Dave Duenas in the house.
What's up, baby?
Is this the real Dave Duenas or is this the fake Dave Duenas?
No, man, this is the real Dave Duenas. You know?
Is this the real, is this the real guy, man? What's up?
Well, you know, I heard that there's now, As we know it, you know, there was a clones of blood, and now there's starting to be clones of, you know, myself out there, man. But the funny thing is they don't even know how to spell my last name right. The other thing that makes me laugh is that if you're going to make a clone of me, you know, and you're going to claim that I'm a gangbanger or whatever the case is, you might as well claim where my shit is at. I'm from North Cal, man. I'm not from South Cal. He's putting X3, Puro Sul. Brother, I'm over here in the northern part of California where there's nothing but Norteños and stuff, man. You know, the crab cities. But no,
you know
that
what,
ain't
Ruff?
Me, man.
Ruff, your clone posted on one of my videos on YouTube, and I went to look at the page. I was like, oh, is it Dave's new account? And then I looked at it, and I was like, man, Dave is a really big fan of blood. He's got them all over the background. Like, every one of your videos is a favorite. Like every one of your favorites is a video from blood. Like,
well, you know what, man? You know, the thing is this, man, is that we put ourselves out there for hardcore fight fans to get involved with us, and we do the extreme in order to cover our sport the way we feel as fight fans that we should. You know, I want to give a shout out to Garch Grill. I want to give a shout out, obviously, to my boy Blood, 916 Chris, my boy Rob Riddler, and David Chen, you know. And really, honestly, you know, I haven't been feeling good, you know, and everybody took part of what happened on Thursday, you know. And Ghetto Wizard, another one of our hardcore listeners, man, you know, laid it down, gave it some tough love. I got some emails, you know, a lot of folks are like, yo, D, you know, it looks like you had a nervous breakdown, et cetera, et cetera, and the concern. But Ghetto Wizard, man, you know, threw it as hard as it could be by giving me some real tough love. So I do want to give him a shout-out, man, Ghetto Wizard out there that threw me an email and, you know, pretty much had told me, you know, Dave, I'm really disappointed. It was unprofessional. And but, you know, man, this is not an excuse. This is just a happening of what happened. But, hey, we got Nate Campbell calling in. It should be calling in right now, so you might want to check that switchboard there, Dave. But
you got it, Dave.
I haven't heard. I don't know if you guys already talked about the Edison Miranda, man. You know, honestly, I wanted to be on this show, so I'm just calling in sporadically and stuff because my back is really out
of it. You might as well stay on the show. You start slipping up, though, we won't hang up on you. Nah, I'm just stay it on and kick it with your homies because you know that's what you want to do any damn way.
Yeah, you know that's true, man. But you know, I guess I'll just revert back to that song. I'm gonna blame it on the alcohol. But yeah, man. You know, hey, all I gotta say, man, is I'm happy that I got such a great family in Leaving in the Ring, and you know. With all the guys, you guys, man, and just a great support system, you know, me, my back, like I said, just went out. And, man, I made a huge mistake. You know, I wasn't paying attention. You know, I almost got in a car wreck on Thursday. And then having all the, I guess, you know, some fans, man, understand, you know, they're like, yo, you have all this pressure, and you put all this pressure on yourself. And realistically, man, it's just by choice, you know. I don't do it because I have to. I'm not getting paid to do a lot of the stuff. Just like Blood and Chris 916 and Rob Riddler and David Chen, we're not getting paid, you know. And I don't think people understand that. Is that we are hardcore fight fans. But, you know, like Ghetto Wizard threw out there, man, and to really put it in limelight for us to realize is that, you know what, you are no longer hardcore fight fans, Dave, or Blood, or 916 Chris, and Rob Riddler, or David Chen. You guys are now a figure in boxing, you know, and we need to conduct ourselves like that in order to carry this sport. So, you know, I'm still in complete embarrassment of what happened on Thursday, and I apologize to everybody. But, hey, it's the given last time, and, you know, it's not even by allowing Blood or the rest of the guys to be on the radio show to carry, because this is as much theirs as mine, because originally the idea came from me and Blood. And remember, Blood, we're kicking back, we're chopping it up, and we're like, yo, man, we are wasting all this, you know, conversation of talking about boxing. Why don't we just put the whole world and allow them to hear what we have to say? So we decided to come up with this radio show, and we decided to, you know, share with everybody else, man. But, hey, man, enough about what's going on with the current events with 97 Rough. Do we got Nate Campbell on the line?
I got a caller from area code 816. Area code 816, can you tell us your name and where you're calling from?
813, Nate Campbell.
Mr. Nate Campbell himself, the most feared man in 135 to 140. What's going on, brother?
Oh, not much, man. Just, you know, taking a trip with the family.
That's good, man. I appreciate you calling in, brother. We're anticipating you to call in. Hey, man, you know, I want to start off the question with this, brother. You know, being from 135 and knowing now your campaign at 140, but does it upset you that you're seeing a Juan Manuel Marquez getting a shot at a big money fight when realistically, you're a guy that's been calling out for big money fights, but nobody seems to want to give you that dough?
Well, you know what the problem is with that? Everybody's saying, do I have a problem with it? Yes, I do, but the question is how much do the fans hate it? The fans of boxing are letting down the sport by allowing guys to circumvent the system. Used to be a time where only the best fighters got to fight the other best fighters.
Let me ask you this, Nate. Did you rub Golden Boy wrong? Is there a reason why maybe Golden Boy has not? Because you know what? The last, the Victor Ortiz had his last fight over there in the Bay Area, and I was there. And on press conference, Oscar De La Hoya said himself their next fight they were hoping was to try to sign you on to fight Victor Ortiz. Were there any calls, man, about that? Did he even try to contact you, or was that just, you know, from ass to mouth?
I don't know. I know one thing. If they put me with Victor Ortiz, I'll spoil him. I'll break him. So, you know, I'm still going through my legal issues with Don King right now, but Victor Ortiz, anybody else in 140 can get it.
Nate, let me ask you, man, you know, fight fans have said it, you know, even journalists, a couple other folks. When you fought Ali Funika, I don't know if I was the only one, but I had kind of saw, man, that you were using a lot of your veteran moves, and you're walking this really tall, awkward guy down and stuff. But, you know, immediately after you won, there was a lot of posts up already saying that, you know, Nate Campbell just finds a way of shooting himself in the foot. Do you believe that? Do you feel that you shot yourself in the foot in that fight? Or do you feel
I fought my game plan. As a matter of fact, here's the messed up thing about it. Here's the problem with the fans. They believe what these people tell them so much. They don't stop to realize something. I fought zero times in almost a year with three world titles. When does that happen?
Exactly, man.
So when does that happen?
It happens probably never. I mean, that's what I don't understand is why are you not getting these fights? I mean, obviously you're the test out there for among a lot of these guys, you know. I just don't understand why you're not getting those fights. And really, honestly, I didn't understand why people were thinking that you had shot yourself in the foot by fighting that game plan when I thought that was the best game plan you could have done. You weren't taking necessarily risk. You, yourself, I'm saying. You know, when I saw you fought Ali Funika, I thought that was the best game plan that you did. I saw a lot of ring generalship. I saw you control the fight, you know, and really I saw you not taking the chances that you didn't need to take against a tall, awkward, hard puncher like that.
Oh, could he punch? He could punch. But the thing about it is, there are four ways to win a fight. Clean punching, effective aggression, defense, and ring generalship. Which one of those four things did he outdo me in?
I would have to say ring generalship, you know, to control the fight from the outside, you know, control it the way that you need to control it as, you know, to keep that scoring on your side, right?
The question was, which one of the four did he outdo me in? He didn't punch cleaner. He didn't punch harder. He wasn't more effective and aggressive. And the fight went the way I wanted it to go.
Exactly. He did do a lot of shoe shining. I mean, yeah, that's amateur. And I did see you, you know, when you opened up, you rocked him and you dropped him, you know. But let me ask you this, okay, because the big question was this. You know, when you were going to fight Yoan Guzman, the weight issue, you were vocal about it. You know, you literally bashed the guy for it. But then when it came down for you, you know, you had that problem. Now, being that said, did that have to switch up your game plan against Ali, or was that the game plan from the set go?
Well, that was the game plan from the set go, but it did switch my game plan. Here's the thing about it. Let me explain something.
Go ahead.
I didn't knock Guzman for not making weight. I didn't knock him for not making weight. I knocked him for not fighting. I didn't knock him for not making weight. I never said he's unprofessional for not making weight. I said he's unprofessional for not fighting.
That's true. That's true. I got to take that back. You're absolutely right. Absolutely
so,
right about that.
Ali Funika, I sat in the sauna for 9 hours trying to make the weight. Then after I didn't make the weight, I sat in the sauna another 2 hours. Or was it 7 hours plus 2 hours, 9 hours total?
Let me ask you this. You know, by doing that, does that physically, man, really honestly, because, you know, a lot of fight fans are spectators. They're not guys that actually go in the ring and they try this out. They just think it's really easy, fairly easy to do certain things to your body, and they think you should always be on go. Now, you're saying right now 9 hours, then you have 2 hours. How much of a toll does that take out of your body? Do you really walk in feeling strong, or are you digging deep to have a performance for that night?
I dug deep for that fight. People don't realize how much of myself I gave. Let me say something. After you get a certain age, your body just doesn't share weight the same.
Right.
After I didn't make weight, my cousin went to the sports store, athletic attic or whatever. Sports Authority.
Uh-huh.
And purchased me a black sauna suit. I put a black sauna suit on, walked into the 130-degree steam room, for almost 2 hours and could not take off anything more than one half of a pound. Was that
wow.
Alan Green, Alan Green sat in the sauna with me. Chico Carvajal sat in the sauna with me. John, one guy was holding the door, so I couldn't come out, and one guy was telling me, you can make it, the whole time. So when guys talk about what I didn't do to make the weight, or they don't know what they're talking about. But you'll give guys like Manny Pacquiao. Let me explain something to you. I want to say this.
Right.
What, you know what? America's in a bad, bad straits right now. And all this goes back to say this. I'm going to say this. We used to have the strongest car industry in the world. Now we don't. Because we're so quick to go buy something foreign rather than buy what was made here in America.
Exactly.
We're so quick to go buy a fighter from another country that we wanted to buy our own. Everybody that's in power, and the fans as well, are to blame for that. Because we have better fighters in the United States than they have anywhere else in the world. But we don't get to see them because we ain't those most of the fighter countries myself haven't been built up by the networks, so we don't get to see them all the time. But I put my record and my accolades against anybody else's in the world.
Let me finish. Go ahead.
Juan Manuel Marquez, none of the other guys that are fighting at 140 pounds have ever had more than two belts at one time. In any weight class, I had three. I could be making money just like they make. My family should be able to. Maybe they show Manny Pacquiao going to buy another mansion out in L.A. I don't have my first mansion. See, the problem is we so quick to buy somebody else from overseas and talk about how bad it is for them. We never stop to think about how bad it is for the guys who born and raised right here in America. It ain't easy being American.
Right.
Not for me. Nothing was ever given to me, and they still ain't giving me nothing. I don't even get the things I'm supposed to get. Like, the very fact that I was unified world champion, I still couldn't get a fight that made me money. So it's sad to say that. I'm saying that to say this. Stop being so quick to buy somebody else because he has a different accent or he's born somewhere else. You got the best stuff right here in the States.
Yeah, absolutely.
I heard that, bro.
Nick, let me ask you this, though, man, because, you know, I hear what you're saying, but you know that some fight fans are out there going to be non-believers because they're going to say this, right? This is the first thing that pops into a lot of fight fans' heads when you talk about Nate Campbell. They say, oh, well, you know what, man? He had his shot. He was the hottest prospect to come out, the Galaxy Warrior, but it blew up in his face. He didn't perform against Casa Mayor, and then when he had that chance to fight Robbie, he showboated and he got knocked out. Do you believe Do you believe that's why so many fight fans are not giving you the opportunity, or is that one of the reasons why promoters are being so iffy to work with you, not realizing that, you know what, this is a legitimate champion?
Oh, here's the question. And I have this question for them. Dude, how many years ago was that?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree, man.
And as far as the promoters, I have beaten all these real bad, supposedly bad cats on the block. I'm running them out of the city. As a matter of fact, do you remember a guy by the name of, you may remember him, his name was Kid Diamond, I was Nazbek Rahimkulov. Did you watch me ruin him on pay-per-view on the Roy Jones Tarver card?
I don't remember.
You don't remember that fight? Well, check it out. Why don't you go look it up? It up and watch how I beat him senseless. He was the baddest man on the planet at 135. They would call him the next Costa Zoo. And I ran him out of the country almost. And the problem is, they fail to realize something. Everything I've been through in my career has made me the fighter that I am. And I still bring it every time the bell rings. But the problem is, I don't have the backing of any one promoter or any one network. But HBO will give me the date, but the question is, will the promoters give their fighters away? The problem is, now it's not so much me being who I am and my career being the way it is, it's the fact that I'm not with the right promoter. And if you're not with the right promoter, he's not going to give you his fighter.
Why aren't you, let me ask you, Neil, why aren't you with the right promoter? Is it because you're like the Bernard Hopkins in the lower divisions, or is it because they don't want to mess with you? I mean, have you frightened everybody that much? You know, I mean.
No. What it is I was signed with Don King because I had to. Don King wouldn't even give me the Diaz fight without signing with him. So I had to sign with Don King. Then when the Guzman fight didn't happen, everybody knows I had to file bankruptcy. And in the bankruptcy, I rejected the Don King contract, and now me and Don King are fighting in court because he supposedly, he thinks that he can, he knows he can't win the case, but what Don King is doing, he's trying to starve me so I have to come back to him for a fight, which I won't do.
Yeah.
So this is almost over, but yeah, I'll probably be signed with a right promoter within the next 30 days or 45 days or whatever, hopefully. But the situation is, now who do you put me in with? All the big name fighters are gone. They're all fighting each other.
Timothy Bradley. How about Timothy Bradley? I mean, he's the, right now, the recognized.
Timothy Bradley's promoter won't give me a fight unless I give him options. And I'm not giving him options.
What kind of options is he talking about, Nate?
Three fights. But see, here's what they do. They want to sign you for three or four fights or whatever. That way they don't make small fights. They want to pick the Grady fights. And you sit on the shelf while they pick them.
Right, right. Wow. That's crazy, man. I can't believe it.
Yeah, you ought to believe it. I'm telling you what's going on. Now you should believe it. See, the question is not. It's not about who you. It's not about. It ain't about what you do. It's who you screw right now. Because at this point in the game is more about, you know, what promoter has the date and the fighter. Everybody knows the Golden Boy has the dates and the fighter. Everybody knows that.
Right.
They ain't gonna give me one of their fighters because they just keep fighting each other because they already got a date. They don't need me. But to make the really fight the fights that the fans want, they need me. But who cares about making fights that the fans want? Because no offense, fans, you'll buy anything.
I have a question for Mr. Nate Campbell. You know, would you saying that it's a little difficult to wait as you get older? What about stepping up into the 147-pound division? You know, you got fighters like Juan Urango moving up. Maybe there's more opportunity for you up there. There's a lot of fighters at welterweight. Was that something you would consider doing?
Yeah, I'm going to step to 140. I'm going to step to 147 eventually, but right now let me beat these guys up at 140. Let's take it one step at a time. Why can't a man move up in weight and get the fights that really matter?
You remember back in the day at 140, though, Nate? If you can't get a fight at 140, I mean, that leaves you the only option.
I can't get a fight nowhere because Don King going to block it right now.
Right, okay.
That's what the big issue is. So if not, the promoters, let me listen. Y'all guys remember all the hype they put around the Diaz Marquez fight?
Right.
Y'all remember how much hype they had? They had a lot of hype around them, Diaz Marquez fight, right?
Yeah.
A lot of hype, yeah.
They did 1.6 million views, right? That's how many views it did. Nate Campbell versus Ali Fanica, who was a nobody, who wasn't known anywhere, did 1.2 million views. So that ain't a lot more views, brother. So you put me in with a big time, you put me in with a name guy that people want to see, dude, you're going to get some viewership because I bring it.
Hey, we don't doubt that you bring it. So what are you saying that we need to do as the fans? You say that we allow this bullshit to happen. So what do we need to do as the fans, and do you think it's more the fans or more to your promoter, Don King, playing?
Don King ain't my promoter no more, man. Don King, let me tell you something. Stop buying BS pay-per-views. If you know that the fight is basically, you know these guys ain't the best fighters in the world.
Right.
You know that going in. So stop being so hungry for a fight that you'll buy anything. Stop throwing your money. Let me tell you something. The market's too bad to just be throwing money away.
I hear you.
Come on now. Let's be honest. Y'all giving this. Let me tell you something. Some of these fights y'all have bought over the last few years, tell you what I want y'all to do. Give me half of the money you was going to spend. I'm going to kick you in the private, and then we'll just call it an even day.
Well, you know what, Nate? I've compared the boxing fans as myself as that woman that keeps getting beat up and just doesn't want to leave, man. I mean, we know we're getting done. We just want to leave, you know?
But come on, guess what? Leave. You'll never have a healthy relationship until you leave.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree.
Okay, let's put all this aside. What does Mr. Nate Campbell, who would you like to fight? If you really had your opportunity right now, who would you be, like, really... Like to have a fight.
I would love to fight Manny Pacquiao, but that'll never happen. I love fight. I'd even fight Ricky Hatton if he got his stuff together. But I don't care anybody at 140 who they say is the baddest man on the planet running.
Nate, I got a question real quick. Now, to me, to my eyes, you looked not as energetic as you could have been in the Ali Funika fight. Now, I'm sure that had to do with the fact that you killed yourself trying to make that weight, because in your fight with Juan Diaz, you were muscling the young man all over the place. So do you think that by moving up to 140, can you say that now you're going to be rejuvenized, that the extra 5 pounds is going to help you become a better fighter again?
Okay, when y'all keep saying become a better fighter, I'm the baddest vet in the game. You can tell me no guy my age fighting in my weight that can do the stuff I can do.
Right, right.
I can fight at a fast pace, a slow pace. I can fight at your pace, my pace. You, as a matter of fact, what you can do is we can take playing cards, and you can pick one out of the deck and tell me that's the combination, that's the punch combination you want me to throw. I can still do that. My hand speed is great. My foot speed is great. But see, there comes a time when you can't rely on just that. You got to rely on your ring savvy.
So people say he the best pound for pounder. You saying he ain't even the best at 140. You better than him. And you believe you could take him pretty easy.
Hey, cool. Manny Pacquiao?
Yeah.
Dude, let me tell you something. And I'm going to say this. Me and John Davis have been saying this for years. What was the last time that Manny Pacquiao fought a black American fighter?
Yeah, you got a point right there.
On the undercard of Lennox Lewis. Lennox Lewis and Rockman, right?
Who did he fight?
Man, you know what? I can't remember the guy. The kid was from Africa, and he was coming up. He was supposed to be the next big thing, and Manny knocked him out.
Ledwaba,
I think it was.
Yeah, Ledwaba.
Can I say this one more time? African fighters and black American fighters are not the same fighters. I just told you, I didn't give you a show. Listen, you ain't listening to me, are you?
Hey, man, you know
what? The last time he fought a black American fighter, he never has. You know why? There's a rule in boxing for Mexicans and for those foreign guys from overseas. You know what the rule is? It's called the MBF. You know what the MBF is? No black fighters. You don't fight a slick black person when you fight on right in front of you kind of guy. Rich right to you. Just a second, you could hit him. I got any better for you.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, man. Something crazy went on with the switchboard. I don't know what happened. I couldn't hear myself for a second or anybody else.
Is the show still on?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm on the air.
We lost Nate.
Ruff, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Did we lose Nate Campbell?
Yeah,
Mr. Campbell, you're back, right?
Oh, hello.
Yeah,
hello?
Mr. Nate Campbell, I guess we lost you for a second.
Oh, yeah, I'll call you right back.
Okay.
Here's the thing about it.
Go ahead.
The thing about it is, they don't want to fight a slick black fighter. Not because we don't sell. They can't beat us.
Too much swag? Is it just too much swag? We got too much swag? What is it, man? Another question, too. Another thing that you brought up that was interesting. Why do you think it is that a fighter like Manny Pacquiao could come over here from another country and get more love than even from the Americans, than a fighter like yourself who is right here from America?
Because you know what? These American people have gotten caught up in wanting something different. They are actually killing our economy by buying foreign cars. Buy American cars. We still make good cars. Stop blowing your money on cars that come from overseas.
Mm.
Nobody cares about us.
Nate, the only thing is you're gonna look, man. I could really see the emails just blowing up right now. I hear what you're saying, but a lot of folks are gonna say, but you know, Nate, the only thing is that the Black American fighters don't have the following as these foreign fighters that we're talking about, Manny Pacquiao. They don't have the backup.
Wait a minute, let me correct you.
Go ahead.
Man, Pacquiao didn't sell a room over there at the last fight. Ricky Hatton did.
But he's a foreigner fighter. He's a foreigner fighter though. He's not an American fighter.
Here's what you're missing. Ricky Hatton sold that. Ain't nobody got no money to buy no pay per view overseas. Unless you talk not in Manila. Come on, man.
Hey, but Nate, let's be real though on one thing though. There's not a whole in that weight division. There ain't a whole lot of Black American fighters in that weight division, and the damn sure ain't none doing it like Nate Campbell.
So hey, then guess what? That's all the more. Let me tell you some Black people. Who's Black on the air right now?
Blood.
Which one you guys are Black?
Oh, me right here. I'm Black.
I know.
And Nate, he had a check, though. You know what I'm saying? He had a check. He had to go to that mirror and check just to make sure one more time.
I'm
Black as they come to be. And from Florida, too.
Hey, what I'm trying to get you to see. What group of people spend, what the Black, 95% of the money spent in America circulates through the Black community. This is that a white guy put out, right? Y'all might want to check that out. 95% of the money that circulates in America is put through the Black community in some way, shape, form, or fashion. It ain't that we won't spend money, but if you would take the money that you're spending, you know what I'm saying, to hype somebody else, spend that money to hype us.
They're not hyping Nate Campbell.
They don't even hype Mayweather. Mayweather's coming as the B-side on every big pay-per-view he's ever fought on. He's never been the top side.
Right, absolutely. I mean, look at Paul Williams. Paul Williams is probably one of the most exciting welterweights all the way to middleweight, and they're not giving him the backing that he should.
He's not, because you know what? That way, they can keep our price down. They can keep our value down that way.
So do you think that there's some racism towards Black boxers from America? Just straight up, you think there's some racism?
Yes, I do. I think the whole machine is racist. Not for Black or white. Now, it's for anything exotic, anything other than Black. Think about it. Paul Williams. You got Paul Williams. You got myself. Ricky Wright couldn't get a fight for years.
Let me ask you this, right? But you really hit it on the nail. You got these slick Black fighters that will give anybody problems and make them look like shit.
Every day, all day.
Okay, you just look. Winky could not get a fight, man, if his life depended on it, because of how bad he would make you look. Okay.
Right.
Same thing with when they put you in with one of the Baby Boo Diaz. You know, that fight alone was a prospect against a guy that's been a champion for some time, a guy that put in the work, you know. And really, honestly, man, I mean, your story is phenomenal. How many guys do you hear of that, you know, came from the grocery business and it becomes a world champion, you know, and getting out there and doing this thing is gifted, but really you didn't even go through the whole traits of what most fighters did, you know.
Here's the thing about it. Everybody loves to talk about how rough it is to somebody else. One Diaz didn't live a rough life. He had a mama and a daddy.
Yeah, he did.
You know what I'm saying? I was a foster child. See, it's one thing to grow up poor in the Philippines or poor in some other third world country. Everybody, that is nothing, because everybody's poor. You know what I'm saying? But when you're born in the land of plenty and you don't have any, then you got it. When everybody around you got something good and you don't, that makes you tough, or it breaks you. It didn't break me. Now, let's be honest. How much rougher was Manny's life than my life? Everybody was doing what Manny was doing over in the Philippines.
Right.
Everybody
and
in America.
Even here in America, we're doing the same thing.
But what I'm trying to get you to see, everybody's doing it in America, but they come from a place where supposed to have so much opportunity. I didn't have the opportunity everybody else did. I had to take
right.
my opportunity.
And it's still like it seems like you're getting the shortcoming of the opportunity still.
Oh, dude, guess what? My stick is not clean. The end of the stick that I've been grabbing lately ain't been clean. But I guarantee you this. As long as there's a ring and somebody that's stupid enough to put a fighter in it against me, I'm going to keep beating them up.
So what is it going to take for you to get some fights? What do you think? What do you think is going to take them? What are you trying to do to get to this goal, to get one of these big fights, man?
There has to be an outcry from the people. See, you know what has happened to America? Other than our economy collapsing, we don't have any real heroes anymore, American heroes. Back when
mm-hmm.
the economy was bad like it is now, in 1920s, we had great heroes, man.
But then, don't you think right now, in the economy that we're in right now, the depression that we're in, don't you think this will create a great hero for us to need that, you know, that we're most Americans are yearning for?
Most of the people that are in power, I don't think they like them. Most of them weren't born in America. Or most of them roots are not really from America. You get what I'm saying?
You can't really say that. I mean, we got Obama right now, man. I mean, if that was the honest case, then we would not.
Let's not talk politics. Let's not talk politics. We ain't talking about political heroes because I'm talking about the Bonnie and Clyde. You get what I'm saying? The Babyface Delta.
Yeah.
Those homegrown guys that came from the Dust Bowl and robbed every bank in sight.
Okay, let me ask you this, okay? Do you think you're up? Okay, let me ask you. Do you think when you get the recognition that you deserve and that is due, which is overdue already, it's going to be when you're at the edge of your career, when fighters and promoters and management guys are going to go, yo, let's go after him now. Because now the old man is really old.
Well, you know what? They've been saying that for years. But I think I keep fooling them. Every time they think I'm old, I come back and I knock one of their up-and-coming young stars off.
Then, Nate, don't you need to come in with a cane or something like that at a press conference? Maybe limp?
I think I'm
or
coming,
maybe,
I'm
maybe
push
don't
there,
dye
I'm
your hair. Maybe not dye your hair or something like that.
No, I can't do that. I will come in a wheelchair, either a walker. So, I mean, this was messed up about boxers today. They are so built up. They are so made. They are so man-made. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I heard that. Yes.
Back in the day, dude, we had real killers, man. We had guys like Jack Gibson, Joe Louis, Ray Robinson. You know,
Marvin Hagler.
Oh, let's not even go there. Because I could talk all day
that's
about
the last. That's the last built man, I believe, that was built. That's it.
No, you had some sense. You had Mike Tyson. Mike had his thing. You know what I'm saying? He had to do it. It wasn't easy for Mike.
So what is it in boxing that's really hurting boxing right now? Just the politics in boxing, why the game ain't like it used to be?
The politics of boxing is choking the very life out of boxing. It used to be a time when anytime you went to a fight, you were going to get a good fight. The undercard. Remember back in the day when you used to watch pay-per-view and they had a banging undercard?
Oh,
yes, sir.
Yeah, man.
Yes, sir.
Come on, dude. I had to show up to the house early to watch all the fights on the Mike Tyson fights because they were going to be the ones that went the longest and be the best fight. Now, man, he's
now you got six and seven champions in every division, and we don't even know who the champ is, and it's just a bunch of bullshit. We don't really know, especially the mainstream, they don't know what the hell going on. That's why the mainstream don't even really know of a Nate Campbell. But as hardcore boxing fans, we know of a Nate Campbell. And we as boxing fans got to promote fighters like Nate Campbell.
Mainstream is being true that I'm something I'm not. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They're making me out to be Antichrist.
David Chen, do we got any callers for Mr. Nate Campbell? We got any questions for Nate?
Yeah, let's take some of these calls. I have a caller from area code 313. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Bat Daddy.
Detroit here.
Detroit. What's going on, Rough Blood, everybody? How y'all doing?
What's up?
Doing great, brother. Yeah, what's your question for Nate Campbell, brother?
Hey, Nate, what's going on?
How you doing, man?
I'm good. I wanted to ask you, how would you feel about fighting someone like a Zab Judah?
Okay, let's get something straight. I was trying to, when Mazzal came out calling me all kind of nasty names, I was totally, I thought Mazzal was cool. I still would love to fight Zab. But truth of the matter is, don't nobody want to buy Zab. I can get HBO date, but not against Zab.
Oh, man.
Well, you got to realize something. Zab pulled out of the fight with Shane Moser. They won't touch him.
Right.
So, I mean, when you say that, people think you're lying. Dude, Zab Judah puts no fear in me.
Hey.
And like I said before, you make the money right, my mama can get it.
Well, it looked like you might have to take some options at 147, man. I mean, you know, it don't seem like nobody want to fight you, and we want to see Nate Campbell in a fight here soon.
Well, listen, you know, just that. Ain't nobody really talking about doing nothing right now anyway, so you wouldn't be seeing me fight anyway. It don't take long to put a fight together. So I'm thinking in the next 30 to 45 days, I've probably been training. I'm already training right now.
Where are you training at right now?
In Jacksonville, at home.
And right now, what exactly are you? I mean, are you sparring, or you just going through the motions just to have your body in tone, get ready when a fight comes out?
I go to the gym and spar with guys who got fights coming up right now. I go and spar with any guy in the gym. If I can spar with anybody, I spar with anybody. Anybody who needs work in the gym can call me and I go in and help. I'm still that guy.
Dave Chen, we got another caller, brother.
No, I believe this is it for now, brother. I got a quick question for Nate, though. Now, you were mentioning Victor Ortiz earlier. You said you break that young man in half. Now, is that really how you feel?
baby, come on. You remember the guy
that
he killed?
No concern there whatsoever.
I'm about as scared of him as I am of a rainy day.
Hey, Nate, let me ask you this.
I love rain.
Hey, Nate, let me ask you this, man, because I gotta get going and stuff. I'm on medication, and it's kicking in again. But I want to ask this before I let you go, brother. First off, man, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day on a Sunday away from your family to get in on with us and leaving the ring. But I've asked this to a lot of fighters, and a lot of fighters have shied away from this question. And I have a very good intuition that you're going to answer me in full effect with true honesty. What fighter out there right now do you watch and go, I cannot believe this dude is on TV and I'm not?
Oh, God. Juan Diaz. Manny Pacquiao. Come on, dude. I'm so pretty. Listen, come on, man. When I kept telling everybody I was going to beat Juan Diaz, y'all, you know you said it. I was crazy, too. Oh, man, Juan's going to run him out of it. You know you said it. Come on, now. Dang it, man. Come on. Be honest with me. I was honest with you.
You know what? I'll be honest with you right now. Hey, I have said this. I said, if Nate does not come in full gear and is not prepared for this young man that punching volumes, he could lose. But really, honestly, I thought you had the edge in experience. I really thought that you had the edge in punching power. But honestly, I didn't think you were going to school that kid like that, man.
Let me tell you something. I schooled him on purpose. When I could have stopped him, I schooled him. You know why? Because he needed to go to hell. I told him that. Let me tell y'all something. Manny Pacquiao, I'll pick him apart. I'll pick him like greens. That's the thing.
A lot of people have said that. A lot of people have said that, man, and they've ended up on their back. What makes you so special and so different?
Because I can actually punch, and my defense is awesome. When I put this defense on you, brother, I make you look bad. Here's what y'all fellas realize. Manny Pacquiao and Ricky Haddon, both of them think defense is that thing that goes around the yard.
Right.
So do you think that most of Manny Pacquiao's opponents, you basically is telling us that his opponents he done had has been tailor-made for him, and he ain't fought no African-American, and he just ain't had the right person in it to make him look bad yet.
Well, let me tell you something. If I ever get that fight, I'm gonna take him to a place that they don't make over Manila. I'm gonna take him to a place
okay,
that they don't make over Manila.
And if you do get that fight and you don't win that fight, are you gonna eat that plate of crow?
I don't eat crow. I'm gonna win that fight. I got one for you. You ought to hear this. You might like this. Manny Pacquiao, after he won the BC title, they said, well, you know, he's gonna fight Oscar later in the year in December. But between now and then, we want to take a fight. So everybody was like, why don't we make the fight with Nate Campbell? They can unify the belts and, you know, go head on. I can't really say this the way I want to say this, but you can pretty much get what I'm going to say.
Right.
The guys over at Top Rank said, F no. You must be out of your mind to put him in with a fighter like Nate Campbell, who can punch and is slick and can box and does not seem to be losing a step. What does that tell you about what the people over Top Rank think about what the fight would have done to him? See, what y'all got.
Well, Marquez gave him some problems. Marquez gave Pacquiao some problems, so I can only imagine.
Let me tell you something. Marquez is a little man and gave him big problems. I'm a big man who can really punch and box. I'll give him big problems. And on top of that, remember the last time I fought a left-hand, I fought a kid right before I fought Diaz named Al Coro. I fought him with a bruised rib.
I remember that. Yeah.
But it was tough to realize he was a left hander who leaps in like some fighter we know by the name of Manny Pacquiao.
Let me ask you this, man. Is there any negotiations? I mean, it sounds like, you know, like you said, you need a heavy hitter behind yourself who's a heavy hitter. So how about, I'll just put it out there. Why are you not rubbing elbows with Bernard Hopkins and having that dude sign you the Golden Boy?
But you got to realize this: I can't sign with nobody right now.
I know that, but I mean, is there any talks?
There are talks with everyone. Everybody, listen. I can get an HBO date. There are talks with everybody. Everybody want to talk to me. But then
Right. Everybody
stays away because they don't want to deal with the Don King factor. When it's over with Don King in a few weeks, you know, hopefully everybody will come out and we'll work and then we can get something done. You know, they'll come bring gifts and money. You know, we can get something done.
So after a few weeks, man, would you call in and talk to us about what are the future plans and what is pretty much on the agenda for the Galaxy Warrior?
Oh yeah, text me, man. One thing about me, I'm a real dude. You text me, I'm gonna get back at you.
Yeah, man, that's
my
dog. I mean,
hey, Ruff, send me out to Jacksonville, bro. I'm pretty close.
Okay, where do you live?
I'm over here. I'm from Gainesville, so I'd like to come and do an interview with you from Jacksonville.
All right, cool. I got people in Gainesville, man.
Anytime, bro. Anytime. Get with 97, bro. I will get with you anytime, bro. Next weekend.
I'll shoot you his number right now. As soon as we get off the show, I'll shoot you his number to Nate, and then you guys can chop it up, because that's definitely something I'd love to get on camera, you know, because, like I said, you know, huge fan of the Galaxy Warrior, you know, and man, it was just an honor of having you on. Nate, I'm going to go, but the rest of the guys on the panel are going to stick, because I know they got some questions. We got 916 Chris on the line. He hasn't been getting it. Every time I get on the show, man, I hog it up, Nate. I'm like
that's
you, man.
California,
I think the whole thing.
I know, as a Californian, I know as a brother, a manufacturer out there, he's probably going to be mad with me.
not as mad as the Filipinos are, brother.
Well, let me tell you something. If they make the fight, I make them a whole lot madder.
Oh, yeah. All right, brother. Hey, guys, go ahead and keep chopping it up with Nate Campbell, man. Hey, I appreciate it again, brother. I'm out, man.
All right, Nate. Nate, this is Chris from California. And no, man,
what
I'm
a really
Pacquiao fan, you know what I'm saying? Actually, I really respect you, you know what I'm saying, because you're a very outspoken fighter. You know, you don't play the politics game, you know what I'm saying? You're not afraid to, you know, say what you feel. You know,
Thank you, man.
In regards to that, you know what I'm saying? You remind me of Bernard Hopkins back in the day when he was having trouble with Don King, when he was stuck under him, you know, because of options and whatnot. You know, can you look up to Hopkins? You know, he was going through all that same stuff at that same point in his career, and the dude just kept on winning. And, you know, you look at where he is now. Is that someone you could look up to and just kind of do like he did, just keep going in there, you know, kicking ass, taking names, and hope you know it will pay off in the long run?
That's it. Let me tell you something. Me and Bernard had a long talk before I even had a title fight. What was it, 05? 06. Me, right before the Winky Wright I Corte fight. Me and Bernard came to my house. Actually, we spent the whole day together. He kind of chewed me out because I forgot to come take him to get his haircut the day before. So he made me come take him. We went to get a haircut. We went and sat down and ate. You know, Bernard don't eat pork, so I had to take him to get some non-pork. And so we all hung out, and he told me, let me tell you something, Nate. He said, they're going to stay with you as long as they can. He said, you should keep winning. He said, but they're going to stay with you because they can't control you. So when he told me that really let me know a lot about what he was going through. Say this, I'm going to be true to myself, man. I'm not going to let them change me. I'm going to be me. And that's what they don't like, because they don't know what I'm going to say next.
Yes, sir.
Dab Daddy Detroit, you got anything more to say with Mr. Nate Campbell?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. Who, like, in the 140-pound division, I mean, besides Pacquiao, I've heard you talking about Pacquiao. Like, is there, like, any other fighter that you're looking at?
Yeah, let me tell you something. Victor Ortiz. Bulldog Clown. Anybody who, I mean, all these guys at 140 can get it. That's one thing, all of them can get it. I want to make it abundantly clear, 140 pounds, they can get it. We can run it. If they send the paperwork over, we make the match the fight, we can get it.
I heard that.
Because there's one beautiful thing about me. When the bell ring, I bring it. Y'all know y'all getting what you know what you get when you know what you get what you pay for when I come to the show.
Hey, I got a question, man. What keeps that drive going in you, man? You seem to have that drive that, you know what I'm saying? I think it's a damn shame that somebody that had the world belts and everything, and like you said earlier, you ain't in that mansion yet. You should have two or three mansions now. So
thank you. But you know the problem is? What keeps the drive? I hate them so much. I hate the people that I put all that anger and hate that I have in my heart, and I turn towards the people they put me in the ring with, because I'm going to make somebody pay for them treat me like this. Because at the end of the day, somebody has to pay. So my opponents, they get to pay for this. And I want them to feel every bit of what I feel. Every time I go through something, every time I miss, I want to go buy something. I can't afford to buy it because my budget is so tight. Somebody got to pay for that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I want the new Darshan's so bad.
So what you sitting on now, man? I know you sitting on some 22 something.
I got a bunch of old cars, but I like old cars. I want a new Darshan's. But other than that, I mean, that's probably one of the only new cars that I'm dying for.
Oh, you gonna get it, bro?
Somebody got to be not having it right now. You know what?
Oh, you will get it.
As a matter of fact, the next guy I fight will probably tell me he'll buy it from me if I start hitting him.
So what do you do right now? Do you just sit back and play the waiting game? You got all this bullshit going on with Don King? Pray.
I'm training. You can't stop.
Oh, okay.
Guess what?
Okay.
They can do what they're doing, but I'm training.
But you're going to stay in shape, keep your body in shape, and just wait for the opportunity to come along.
No,
so basically, that's what you do.
I'm hovering around 155. And that's where I'm about 155, no more than 151, no more than 160. And that's why I'm making sure my body stays no higher than that.
So you just, basically, you just sitting back waiting on a call right now, waiting for somebody to step
and
up.
Somebody send me a contract, they can get it.
I heard that.
It's ugly, I'm telling you, I heard it.
Nate, I got a quick question.
Oh, go ahead.
happy your fight with Ali Funika. You gave him a lot of props. You know, you're saying this young man is a good fighter. What can you tell us about his strength? Like, what are the good things you notice about being in the ring for 12 rounds?
Not physically a very strong fighter. Because you got to realize something. John David Jackson cracked a joke going into training camp. He said, Nation beat this guy 50%. Nobody knew I was going to have to beat him at 50%. But Ali Funika, what he would do to the other guys at 135, he'd stop all those other guys. They can't take his punch.
Marquez versus Mayweather, who's gonna win that, bro? And why?
Mayweather should win that fight, walking away. Mayweather should win that fight pretty easy.
You say he wins that fight pretty easy.
He might stop Marquez.
Yeah, I think he has a good chance to stop Marquez myself.
Well, let me tell you, Marquez got hit a whole lot against Juan Diaz. And Juan Diaz, well, let me tell you something. Juan Diaz came, Juan hurt him one time. Juan Diaz came out the dust off his shoulder.
Mm-hmm. 916 Chris, you got something for him?
Man, I'll just ask one more question, you know, before we I think we're off the air in a second. But, you know, you seem to give an honest assessment what you think of all the, you know, pretty much anything we ask you about. Just curious, there's a fighter out there that I think a lot of people have questions about. He looks good, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I just want to get an inside a fighter's perspective. What do you think of Edwin Valerio?
Lord have mercy, I wanted to stay at 135 just long enough to knock his brains out. He is so big, dude. Let me tell you something. All he is is a punch. He can punch. That's it. But guess what? When you got a guy standing right there getting hit, anybody can punch.
That's definitely a fight you take if you know he moves up to junior welter, you know, and that fight was going after. That's a guy you take.
I would break the bridge of his nose.
Well, hopefully that fight happens because I'd like to see it, to be honest.
Because let me tell you something. You look at these guys with all these first round knockouts. Who is he knocked out? Tell me one name or guy, one real guy he's knocked out.
Oh, you're right.
One
moment, brothers. I got a caller coming in. Ariel 209. When is the game? My man, Ralph.
What's going on, guys?
How you doing?
What's up?
Good, man. Look, I got a quick question real quick. Mayweather obviously should be taking out Marquez at ease. Should even stop him, okay, put him down. Now, Nate, at a press conference post-press conference, have you ever thought of maybe going over there and calling out money? I mean, like you said before, you know, why wouldn't money...
The last time I told Terry, I never like calling fighters out. You get what I'm saying? I never like calling fighters out. And I'm going to explain to you why. The one time I called a fighter out, I called Casimir out after he beat Cassidus. All I did was spin my wheels in the mud. So here's what I'm going to tell you. They all know where I'm at. And they all know that I will fight. So I don't do the call you out thing. I think that's so childish. We're grown men. Fight me. You know I'm here. You know I'll take a fight with anybody. So
yeah, we know that as hardcore fight fans you would, but the mainstream fight fans don't know that. You know, and shouldn't you look, man? This is what I got to say. Don't you got
to make the Mayweather fight? They were trying to make the Mayweather fight with me before Marquez.
Right.
They were. From what I'm hearing, Don and Floyd were sitting down having long talks. Some weeks back, they could have made that fight with Nate Campbell. They chose Marquez. HBO would have bought a fight with Nate Campbell and Mayweather. I'm just speaking the truth. Now you may not like a lot of guys don't like the fact that I talk the way I talk because I tell the truth about it. But dude, these guys know where I'm at. No one is trying to jump in the ring with me.
Okay, we all know about you as hardcore fans, but what you got to do?
Mayweather know about me too. So why would I go call him out when he already know about me?
But what does it take for the mainstream to get to know Nate Campbell a little bit? Are some of these guys stepping up?
What it takes is some of these guys to stop being so scary and put it out there. If you bad as they say you are, if you're as bad as all these people say you are, prove it. Here's a dude that you know is bad, really bad, who don't mind showing you he's really bad, standing and waiting in the wings. Go beat him. And God, besides, he talk a lot of trash. Go beat him up. Shut his mouth. But guess what? Ain't nobody coming to try to shut my mouth here lately. Pretty much
well,
they leave me alone.
I'll tell you what we're going to do, Nate, and we all got, most of us on here on the line with you, we got channels on YouTube, so we as fans is going to promote you. We going to help, you know, get your name out as much as we can because people got to know that Nate Campbell needs to get his.
And I want to fight anything. Look, and it's not like I've been calling out guys like Devin Alexander called me out. For what? Why would I call you out? Who have you beat of any merit? I want to fight the very best guys, but they want to put me on Ortiz. Why? Because even if I beat him, you know what they're going to say? Oh, he never fought anybody. When I beat Juan Diaz, he was hyped. He was overhyped. When I beat Kid Diamond, maybe he wasn't as what he was to start with. I want to beat these guys that are established. But you know what they're going to say when I beat an established guy?
Y'all really want to know?
Yeah, tell them. I'm gonna give you a couple of things. He only had an off night. Nate Campbell caught him on an off night. He's gotten old. He's had some tough fights. I got one for y'all. Y'all gonna like this one. You know, Nate Campbell's actually younger than Pacquiao is because Pacquiao's been fighting longer. Yeah. These are the kind of things you'll hear when I stop one of these guys. You know why? Because it can never be that I was the better fighter. Even after I beat Diaz, they say I found all kind of reasons to say that. Hey, like Diaz, I couldn't establish my power jab, and you know I wasn't doing my corner. Said you doing everything your corner said. When they told you to run and hold, you ran in hell.
Hey, yo, Nate. I got something. I mean, to add to that, I remember when you beat up Kid Diamond. I mean, this guy was being hyped up as the net. Yeah, he was being hyped up as the net. Great lightweight, and you got no props. I mean, you killed that guy.
Dude, I'm going to tell you how bad it was. I beat Kid Diamond, who was ranked in the top 10 everywhere in the world and still couldn't get ranked in the top 10 everywhere. Do you realize that?
So why is it that Nate ain't getting no love right now? Why is it? Is it your personality? Is it your realness? What is it? Why? There's got to be a reason why Campbell ain't getting no love.
It couldn't be my personality because I'm such an adorable, lovable guy. I mean, just couldn't be that. I mean, I'm such an adorable love. You got to love me. I mean, you got to love me. You ask me a question, I tell you the truth. You know what I'm saying? I kiss all the babies, and you know what I'm saying? You got to love me. You just got to love me. And if you don't like me, probably it's you. It ain't me. How could you not love a fighter that has no pretension? I don't take myself so serious. I mean, I still sign every autograph that is put in my face. And I still love the fans. And I still watch boxing. And more importantly, I'm just like you. I'm still a fan of boxing.
But see, the thing is that Nate Campbell ain't getting no love. So what does Nate Campbell have to do to get love? And why ain't he getting no love then? Because you ain't getting the fights you want. You ain't getting the big money that you deserve. So what do you think it is about?
I need the backing of HBO. I do. I need the backing of HBO. See, HBO makes stars. They make the stars now. You get what I'm saying?
I got it.
When the guys say you're a star on HBO, you're a star. You get what I'm saying? If they say you ain't enough, they say you're an opponent on HBO, you're an opponent. You remember Chad Dawson just fought Tony Tarver. And the guys on HBO were saying, well, this is the last time that Tony Tarver will be on a premium channel. So probably be the last time you see Tony Tarver on the premium. I got Miss Young. It's going out. Probably be the last time you have see him on a premium channel. You know why? Because they said it. See, people now believe what they hear instead of what they see.
Okay, tell me something. Do you think Ricky Haddon was just one of these fighters that they overhyped and that maybe the win Pacquiao had wasn't that impressive as people is making
it out to be? Let me tell you something. When you sit down and you talk to real boxing guys, real boxing guys all say the same thing. You know what they say? Man, I ain't like he beat no virtuoso boxer. Let me tell you something. When Ed Morales still had it in him to box a little bit, he beat Pacquiao up. Marquez put the boxing game on him and beat. Only thing that made them fight, only reason Manny Pacquiao won the fight with Marquez was the knockdowns.
Right.
I mean, because it wasn't the fact that he outboxing nobody. It ain't like he outboxing nobody. He ain't no killer like that. If he don't get you a one shot early in the fight sometime, more likely he ain't going to get you. Pacquiao, I don't know why everybody keeps trying to make him out to be the greatest face in sliced salami. I mean, stop doing that. Stop buying what they sell.
Right, and it seemed like Ring Magazine doing the same thing. So basically, what we really need to see, it seemed like at this time in boxing, is the best fighters fight each other, and somehow we need to get past the hype, you know, because there's a lot of good fighters who ain't on HBO.
Right, but let me tell you something. That's exactly why I'm still a fan of boxing, because I get to see these guys that ain't on HBO. I get to see these dudes that don't fight, you know, premium channels. You know what I'm saying? I get to watch guys like Glenn Johnson. You get what I'm saying?
Right,
yeah. And my cousin walked up to Chad Dawson right after the fight and told Chad Dawson, you know you lost that fight, right?
When he fought Glenn Johnson, you talking about. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you know what Chad Dawson said the other night? He won't fight Glenn Johnson unless he absolutely, positively has to. What does that tell you?
You're right.
I mean, and I love Chad. Chad, my dude. I love Glenn. Glenn, my dude. But I'm going to call a spade a spade. Boy, he got
Any more questions on the line for Mr. Nate Campbell?
Yeah, well, we got a few minutes left anyway. I don't know if Nate Campbell's still on the line. I don't hear him. Maybe he got disconnected.
Nate, you still there?
Yeah, there he goes.
Nate, still there?
No, I think I just saw him drop on the switchboard. Well, I don't know if he's still listening, but we got a couple minutes left in the show. If Nate comes back on, we'll thank him. But regardless, we'll thank him now. We appreciate him coming on the show. Chop it up. He spent a lot of his well-needed resting time. It's a day of rest. It's Sunday, but he came over here anyway to chop it up with the boxing fans like myself, Ruff, 916 Chris, Dab Daddy, Dave, Ruff. So we definitely appreciate that.
No doubt. 916 Chris. Anything to say, man, towards the end here? Sum it up.
Oh, man, it's a good show, man. Great interview by Nate Campbell, man. We need more boxers like that. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's not good for their careers, but it's great for us, you know, to the fans, you know, have a guy that, you know, gives you the real stuff. Isn't just, you know, a figurehead, you know, doesn't just talk, you know, says what needs to be said. A guy that's honest, you know, isn't afraid to, you know, tell you about both sides of the game, you know, whether, you know, the promoter or the networks and everyone to hear it or not. It's just good to get a real fighter on there, you know, that ain't afraid to say his opinion.
No doubt.
Nate Campbell, do we have you back on the line? I see your number showing up.
Yeah, I'm here, man. I'm on cell phone, so you gotta. I don't do the house phone thing because me and my wife are never home. But yeah, man. Thank you for the comment, man. Thank you guys for the comments, man. I'm honored.
I'm gonna come out to Jacksonville and get that interview too, man. I want the interview, man.
Do it. Come on, come on out.
Get with Ruff so I can get your number. I'll come out there and I'll definitely put up an interview for you, man.
All right, man, you got my phone number right there on your call ID.
Okay, man, no doubt. Mr. Nate Campbell, thank you for coming through, man.
Thank you for coming through.
Thank you, Nate.
All right, yo.
Good luck in the future. I hope to see you soon. All right, brothers. Well, that was a great show. I'm glad we filled the whole 2 hours. We got both our guests. I think we got some real talk in there. Before we go, I got to give a shout-out to our partner site, standandfight.com. Make sure you guys go check it out. You know, on that site, you can find Coach Ricky James Coward, okay? This man has great videos of him doing mitt work taken from all kinds of different techniques. He's going to put out a DVD soon. He's probably going to come on and talk to us one day on one of our shows about that. So go ahead. You can find him featured on the website, and then you can link to his YouTube from there. And also, we got to mention BoxingFanatics.com. It's a social networking site for boxing fans, promoters, trainers, whatever you want. You go on there, there's a lot of great content. There's articles, there's videos, so go ahead and check it out. You know, if you're a boxing fan, you should definitely find something there you like. Well, I'm David Chen. I got my co-host Blood and 916 Chris. We really hope you guys enjoy listening tonight. Any last thoughts, brothers?
916.
I just want to thank you for a good show.
All right, I'll see you guys on Thursday for the next show.
No doubt. Peace.
Leaving in the ring.
Radio.
Go ahead, who's this?
Yo, it's David Chen.
Is it me, man, or is Marquez just a goddamn beast?
Every time Marquez moves up in weight, moves to a different division, he's fighting the toughest competition he can find there. You know, he's not just finding a name that's stylistically good for him. He's fighting the hardest fight he could fight and then winning.
See, if anything's killing boxing, it's boxing, not UFC.
You know, I won't bash MMA, and I won't say, you know,